Watch this video.
Dude, we are so dope.
We're going hell in the morning, dude.
Hey, dude, I think that dude wants you.
Well, that's just a pilot.
Dude, not the pilot?
No. I've never done this before. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Whee!
Stay smart. Stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
Whee! I love those commercials. They're hilarious. I don't know what it is about them that makes it really funny, other than the claim that he's making is so outrageous, right? The claim that he's saying is that because he stayed at a specific hotel, it made him really, really smart, and smart enough to fly a helicopter. I especially like the look of the snowboarders when they look at him like, why would you do that? Why would you even think that way? You're nowhere near a helicopter pilot just because you stayed at a Holiday Inn. It's crazy to think that way. What if I told you that that's the way the world looks at Christians? What if I told you that the world sometimes looks at us when we proclaim to be Christians and they wonder what in the world you're talking about? Why? Because they do. It kind of hurts, doesn't it, when you think about it? Why people would look at us from that perspective, and basically what they're saying is, you're not really what you say you are. You're a hypocrite. Everything that I've found in my ministry, in talking with people who have been disconnected from the church, people who are unbelievers, that's the biggest question they have. Is if you call yourselves Christians, then why? Why isn't there something different about you? Why isn't there something different about the church? What is it that you claim to be Christian that's different? It stings, doesn't it? We call ourselves Christians, and yet people wonder what that's really all about. So how do we change that perception? How can we, as Christians, change the mind and perception of the world? How can we change the way people think about Jesus and the church? How can we change the way people think about us as believers, as Christians, as people who follow Jesus? What do we need to change in our own lives, in what we're doing, to help believers, unbelievers, and those who are disconnected from the church want what we have? Like Joel said this morning, we're starting a new message series called Kingdom Manifesto. And a manifesto is a declaration. It's a declaration of what it means and what it looks like to be a part of a specific group. It's a declaration of policy and procedure, so to speak. It's a mission statement to help people understand what it means to be a part of a group. In this message series, we're going to look at part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave, and we're going to look at Matthew. If you remember, last year in January, we looked at the first part of that in the Beatitudes, and now we're going to continue in Matthew 5 and look at Jesus' manifesto. His authoritative statement, his authoritative announcement that the kingdom is here, and what it means and what it looks like to be people who live in that kingdom. Jesus' kingdom manifesto is his description, his game plan. It's what he expects from us if we claim to be believers, if we're born again believers who want to follow and live our lives for Jesus. If we live in the kingdom, this is Jesus' instructions to us on how we're supposed to do that. I want to read from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. And I'll be sharing it from the New Living Translation. And the words will be up on the screen if you don't have it on your phone or if you don't have your Bibles here this morning. Listen to what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Salt and light. Jesus uses these two metaphors, these two common things that we use to describe and explain what it means to be a disciple who lives in the kingdom of God. Now keep in mind, if you go back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, remember Jesus is just walking by the sea, and he decides to go and sit up on the mountainside and begin to teach. The Bible says that the people that were there were that people in the regular crowd, regular people who maybe just having a day at the beach, just living life. There were potentially Pharisees and other religious leaders, and then the disciples. So there's a variety of people in this crowd that Jesus is teaching. So he uses two very common daily items as metaphors to teach what it means to be a part of the kingdom. Salt. Salt was valuable. I mean, we kind of take it for granted, but in that day, salt was used all around the Mediterranean area as a commodity. They would use it to exchange for other goods and services. It had value because it had multiple uses. There were no refrigerators or freezers in that day, so they used salt as a preservative. They would rub it on their meat and their fish, and it would save it for an extended period of time. They would keep it from rotting quickly. They also used salt, like we do, as seasoning to enhance the flavor of food. They also used salt as a certain fertilizer. In my reading, I found out that there were certain soils that would take to salt very well, and so it was good fertilizer to grow specific kind of plants for food. And salt was used back then as like an antiseptic. It was used to help heal cuts and wounds. Light. I don't need to tell you the importance of light. We've kind of taken it for granted as well. But light was important. They lived in a time without electricity. Now, think about it. The last time that the power went out in your house for an extended period of time, it's not a big deal for a couple of hours, right? But if you've ever had the power go out in your house for a couple of days, there's things that you have to think about, right? Heat, if it's cold out. Your refrigerator shuts off. What are you going to do with your food? How are you going to save your food? The hot water goes away, right? So you don't have any hot water. It's kind of an inconvenience when the power goes out. They didn't have power. Light was an essential part of life to them. Every house had a lamp that was filled with oil that had a wick in it, and they would light the wick, and they would take that lamp and they would put it on a lampstand that was high enough to give as much light as possible in the house. Think of it this way. It'd be like lighting a candle as opposed to giving out a flashlight. So the power goes out in your house, and someone has a flashlight, it really just helps them, right? To see where they're going, what they're doing, unless they shine it around. A lamp or a candle helps everyone to see. And so Jesus is sharing something that's very common, that's very knowledgeable. Everybody knows about this. It's just common sense. When you light a lamp, you put it on a lampstand so it gives light to everyone in the room. So what are the implications of being salt and light? What exactly is Jesus trying to tell them? What's he trying to teach us? He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What Jesus is saying is, you've been given this incredible gift. The good news of the gospel. You have been invited into the kingdom. You are a part of the kingdom because you have placed your faith and trust in what Jesus did to make you part of the kingdom. Through the cross, he paid the price for your sin. Through the resurrection, he has given you life. And because you've placed your faith and trust in him, you are a part of the family of God, the kingdom of God. And now, the tough question is, what do you do with it? talked about that a little bit last week when we shared what the gospel was. And what Jesus is trying to share here is that the gospel is not the only way to enter the kingdom. It is the way to live in the kingdom. In other words, what Jesus is saying is when you understand the gospel message, when you get the good news, when you apply it in your life, it ought to overflow into the life of everyone else in the world. He's teaching them that the people who belong to the kingdom were called to be contagious, to be actively pursuing an impact in the world for the king and the kingdom. So this morning, I want to share with you two things that Jesus was teaching, a twofold responsibility for us as disciples to be contagious and have an impact in the world. Here's the first one. Be salty by being missional. Be salt. You are the salt of the earth. Be salty by being missional. Our world is broken by sin. It doesn't take much for us to look around and see the moral decay, the effects and the impact of sin. It's destroying the world. As believers and as disciples, God calls us to be the salt of the earth. We're called to go into the world and act like a moral preservative, to be the gospel by redeeming the sinful decay and death through social action and missional activity. We're called to be seasoning in the world. We're called to help people taste the goodness and the life that the good news of the gospel brings to them. And we're called to be the healing agents of God for the world. Just as salt is used as an antiseptic, we are called to be poured into the broken, open wounds of the world to provide healing and restoration. See, the gospel is not just good news for us. It's a good news for us that we are called to share with the broken world. We're called to redeem the world and help God in the process of redeeming people. Our commission from Jesus is to proclaim and embody the good news of the gospel so that other people can see it, hear it, feel it, and understand God's love in tangible ways. In other words, as Christians, we are all missionaries. Let me say that again. As Christians, we are all missionaries. To be in the kingdom of God means to be a missionary. To be a disciple in God's family is to be a missionary. Now, God's not calling every one of us to, you know, leave everything here and go to Africa to be that kind of a missionary, but you have a mission right where you're at. The circle of people that you know and interact with on a regular basis are people that I may never know. God has placed you in that circle to be missional, to have an impact, to be salt in the world of that friend, family member, co-worker, neighbor, student, whatever it is. You are there. God has called you to be there as a missionary. I want you to think about this. That to be salt, and what Jesus is saying is that we have to go there and be there to be tangible in order to have an impact. Salt doesn't have any impact if it stays in the salt shaker on the table. That's what Jesus is trying to share here. So that if you're really salt, then it has more to do with giving yourself and putting yourself in a position to be potent and to have an impact in the people and the places wherever you are. In order to have an impact, salt had to be rubbed on meat and fish. In order for us to have an impact in the world, we must be rubbed in to the situations that other people are dealing with. We must be rubbed into relationships and life, the things that people are dealing with, in order to help show them and be the gospel to them. We're called to help redeem the brokenness in their life, to help lead them and show them that God provides a way that they can be transformed. We can no longer just sit back and watch what's happening in a broken and dark world. We're called to find practical ways that we can be merciful to the poor, to be compassionate by helping the weak, to help people who are physically broken in tangible ways, to boldly stick up for the powerless. You are the salt of the earth. We're called to be salty by being missional, to get out there and make a difference by being the gospel. The second responsibility to be contagious and have an impact in the world is to be a light by being a disciple. For those listening to Jesus' message that day, they understood the importance of light in helping them to see, to find their way, to guide them in their house or wherever they are. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And what he was proclaiming there is that he was the one who would guide people to eternal life. The light of Jesus provides spiritual illumination. It lights up our minds and our hearts so that we can see God, so that we can know Him, so that we can allow His light to transform our life. You are the light of the world. What does that mean? That means when God's light shines in you, when He's illuminated His light in your heart, in your mind, so that you know Him, when you've known the gospel, it ought to fill you up in such a way that it overflows into the world. You ought to be a reflection of God's goodness, of the gospel in this world. What does that mean? What does it look like? Well, again, Jesus taught His disciples that in order to be a disciple, you have to go and teach other people who Jesus is and what it looks like to be a follower who lives in the kingdom. We're called to walk with people, to be a guiding light, and show them the way to follow Jesus. That's what the Great Commission in Matthew 28 is all about. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He said to the disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And part of it was to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. Teach them, show them, be a light by being a disciple. Get out there and make a difference by teaching people what it means to know and follow Jesus. That's what it means to live, to know the gospel, and to live it out by sharing it with other people. It's being the gospel and giving it to other people. It's our responsibility as believers, as disciples who belong to the kingdom of God, to be salt and to be light in a morally sinful and dark world. Now here is kind of like the subliminal challenge that Jesus gives in teaching here. And this is kind of really hard to hear. Matter of fact, no pun intended, but it can be like rubbing salt in the wound, right? It stings a little bit. But in all reality, what Jesus is teaching here is that being salt and light are natural outcomes of being in a relationship with the King of the kingdom, Jesus. And if you are salt and light in the world, it reveals that you're part of the kingdom of God. When your life is saturated by Jesus, you will be salt and light. You will be contagious in a broken, sinful, dark world, and you will have an impact. So the opposite then is true, which is the scary, stingy part, is that if we're not contagious, if we're not having an impact in the world, if we're not being salt, if we're not being light, then can we really say that we're part of the kingdom? Or are we just claiming to be a helicopter pilot? Jesus says, "Hey, listen, what good is salt if it loses its saltiness?" And the truth that the people who are listening to the message would have heard is this: that can't happen. Because if it loses its saltiness, then it's really not salt in the first place. You see, in that time, there were these rocks that were really porous that they could find by the Dead Sea that were filled with sodium chloride. And a lot of people would use those. People that were poor would use those temporarily as salt. But once the salt would leak out, then the rock would be useless. thrown out onto the path to be trampled. There was also a process that happened by the Dead Sea where when the water was evaporated, it created this stuff called gypsum, which looked a lot like salt, but it really wasn't. And so what they would do is they would mix it with real salt and sell it off as the real thing. It wasn't authentic. It wasn't real salt. It wouldn't be effective. So Jesus' point is this. If salt loses its saltiness, then it's really not salt at all. And Jesus said, hey, don't light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Everybody that was hearing and listening to that would have known what he's talking about, because what they would do is they would take a basket or a bowl and they would put it over the candle in order for it to be distinguished, to put the light out. And everyone knows that you don't do that. You don't put the light out when you need it. Right? A city on a hill can't be hidden because light shines. It's what light does. If it's light, if it's true light, it shines. If it's not, then it doesn't. Again, Jesus' point is that light that doesn't give light isn't light. So what Jesus is saying is to not be salty and to not give light is to not be effective, to not be contagious. It ultimately has no impact and is useless for the kingdom. To not be salt, to not be light, is evidence that you're not really living the life of a true disciple and may not be a part of the kingdom of God. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Now, before you think I'm trying to condemn all of you, I want you to know that that stings really bad for me. Because even as a pastor, I notice that in my life, it can be consumed with the daily life of trying to be a pastor and do things for the church. And I don't really get out into the world and make a difference. I'm right there with you. When I read this week, it stung. It stung really hard. It's difficult. Now, people in the crowd that day would have understood it that way as well. Whether it's people from the crowd or the religious leaders or even the disciples. So the question in this section that Jesus is trying to challenge us with is this: how are we being salt and light in the world? What are we doing to be contagious? What are we doing to have an impact in our broken and dark world? What are we doing to make a difference in the world? It's really tough because our mission, vision, and purpose here at Northridge is exactly that. We want to have an impact. We want to make a difference. We want to be salt and we want to be light. And yet I wonder how often we just give that lip service. How often in our life do we talk about being salt and light and really not do it? So the challenge is there for us as individuals and a church. How are we going to be people who live in the kingdom of God, who invite people into the kingdom of God by being salt and being light? How are we going to be individuals who are contagious, who have an impact in the lives of people in our community, the people we work with, the people we live next to, the people we go to school with, the people we work with? What is God calling you to do? There's a lot of you here that are already really, I'm amazed at the missional things that you're doing. But there's some of us that need to be engaged. And I hope and pray that God is working in your heart and in your mind. Because God, if God wants us to do this, if He wants us to be salt and light, then He's got to be giving you something. He's got to be challenging you with something to do, some person to impact, a mission or a ministry that you can volunteer for and have an impact in our community. There's got to be something that God has designed you, how God has wired you, that God has given you a heart and a passion for a specific people or a specific ministry or mission. Don't wait. Don't hold back. Get involved. and watch how God uses you to make a difference in the world. God calls us to be salt and light. Jesus' message is clear. To be a disciple who lives in the kingdom of God is to be a missionary to the world. It's time for us to honor God by being salt and being light in the world. Let's pray. Lord, your word is so challenging. I think that a lot of us desire to have an impact for you, but fear keeps us from doing that. Busyness keeps us from doing that. There's a lot of different excuses and really different reasons that we use, Lord, to not be salt and light in the world. Lord, would you show us? Would you show us how you want to use us? Would you put a fire in our heart, in our mind, for a place or a person, some way that you could use us to build your kingdom, to show the gospel, to be the gospel to other people? Lord, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. Help us not to be selfishly hogging that gospel, that good news, but be willing to share it with other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.